Hallelujah.
All right, that's good. Y'all better stop.
Amen. Give a heart of hand praise. Amen. God bless you. Glory to God. Open your Bibles, amen, to the book of Philippians. Amen. Chapter number 2. We're going to start reading, amen, there this morning as we begin to lay a foundation for a series of messages, amen, that we want to begin to preach. We're going to call this, let this mind be in you, amen. Let this mind be in you, amen. Second chapter of the book of Philippians, verse number 5. Hallelujah. Deep cries out to thee. Hallelujah. If I could sing, y'all would be in trouble for real. Amen. Amen. If I could sing, amen. Let this mind be in you, which is also. Let this mind be in you, which was also. I'll say that again. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Keep your finger right there and run over to the first book of Corinthians. Corinthians. Chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're just going to lay some scriptural foundation today, and then we'll get into the meat of the teaching next week. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 16 says this: For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But then Paul says this: But we have the mind of Christ. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? In other words, who knows God's mind, the Lord of the mind, that he can give God instruction? But then he says, but we have the mind of Christ. Father, I thank you today, and we ask you again for preaching grace. Give us a ear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church, and the willingness to do, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let this mind be in you. One of the things that we've got to comprehend this morning as believers, and for some reason it is a perplexed situation for us to believe, that we can walk as representatives, as ambassadors of Christ in the earth under the same power that he walked under. I won't say that again. We can walk as representatives, as ambassadors of Christ in the earth under the same power or anointing that he walked under. In the book of Acts, the Bible says that the Holy Ghost anointed Jesus, who went around doing good, healing all those that were oppressed of the devil. So my question to you this morning, as we just begin to lay this foundation, has the Holy Ghost changed? Is he now someone different in the earth? He has been with God as a part of the Godhead from the beginning. The Bible says in the book of Genesis, God said, let us create man. He was not talking to any other entity or any other being besides himself, because there is no one who is powerful enough to create life other than him. And so when he says, let us create. And then the Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter number 1 that the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the deep. So the Holy Spirit has always been since the beginning. And the Bible says in the book of Acts that the same Holy Ghost that was there in the beginning was that the Holy Ghost that God anointed Jesus with in his bodily form that caused him to be able to walk around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He gave him authority over the things in the earth. And because we as believers now, the Bible says, have that we are the temple of God, and that know you know not, Paul says, know ye know that their body is the temple of the who? Holy Ghost, and that he dwells inside of us. So the same God that was there in the beginning, brother, the same Holy Ghost that was there in creation, the same Holy Ghost that anointed in Jesus in the book of Acts is the same Holy Ghost that now lives inside of you and I. And so if we can comprehend that today, David, the psalmist writes, know ye that ye are God's, little g. It's hard for people to comprehend that, elder, because we see ourselves as feeble, weak human beings when we have to understand that we have God's DNA on the inside of us. And so the thing that we have to grasp this morning is that I'm not just a mere average man, but I'm God's son in this earth. I'm God's daughter in this earth. I'm his representative in this earth. I'm his ambassador in this earth. And the same anointing that followed Jesus is the same one that follows me. And just like Jesus had all heaven backing him, all heaven now backs us. And the problem is we can't see ourselves like that. Bible says that when he sent the spies out, Moses sent spies out into the promised land. And the Bible says that they came back and they had seen the giants and they'd seen all the things that were there in the land. And 10 of the 12 besides Caleb and Joshua, the Bible says, came back with an evil report. And they said they saw themselves as grasshoppers in their sight. And oftentimes when we look at the things that we deal with in life, we see ourselves as grasshoppers. Instead of seeing ourselves as the redeemed of the Lord, instead of seeing ourselves as purchased by the blood, instead of seeing ourselves anointed by the Holy Ghost, instead of seeing ourselves powerful entities in the earth, instead of seeing ourselves as one who walks in authority, instead of seeing ourselves as one who binds things in heaven and those things are bound in the earth, and one who loose things in heaven and those things are loose, instead of seeing ourselves as the redeemed and the born again, we see ourselves as grasshoppers. And it's because of our thought process. I gauge myself how I was raised, how I was brought up, what side of the tracks I came from, my life experiences. And then I look at my sum total of where I am, and then I make an assumption of this is all I can be. When the fact of the matter is, I know Charlie and Joseph were my biological parents, but my lineage goes back to God. He used them as instruments to get me into the earth. But the Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, he says, Jeremiah, before I put you in your mother's womb, I knew you. So before God chose a womb to put me in, we already had relationship with one another. Joseph was just a womb that he was trying to use to get an expression of him in the earth. God
God said, let us create man in our image and in our likeness. He didn't stop that with Adam. He kept on going even after Adam. So everybody in here that's born again, your mother was a womb to get an expression of God in the earth. And so the thing that we've got to begin to understand is I've got to go farther back than my birth certificate. I've got to go farther back than that because that's where I was from the beginning. And then he uses that as a process of time to get me into the place that he desires for me to be at the moment that he wants me in the generation that he gonna put something inside of me to affect, to change the world. You're not here by happenstance. God chose you in this moment, in this time, to affect the generation that you live in. So we've got to understand this. When the Bible tells me, in the book of Romans, and I'm going to get to the scripture in a minute, tells me in the book of Romans that we have to renew our mind. And you've heard me say it before, Gerald, you cannot renew something that you did not once have. Mike, you cannot call the Dallas Morning News and say, I want to renew a subscription to the newspaper unless you have had one previously. You cannot renew your mind or renew this mind that we had before unless we had the mind of God before. And that's foreign to people. But let's go to the scripture. Let me give you this statement right here. I want you to write this down. If you're taking notes, Jameson, make me a little block of this and put it up there on the screen. Everything we lost in Adam, we now regain through and in Jesus Christ. Everything we lost in Adam, we now gain or regain through and in Jesus Christ. I want to say it one more time for everybody who's writing and while Jameson typing. Everything we, Bible says that when Adam sinned, we were all in Adam even though we had not been born. And so everything that we lost through Adam's disobedience, we now regain through Christ in Christ's obedience and now in him because we're now in him. Everybody got that? Write that down. We're gonna talk about that in a minute. So let's look at this deal right here. The first thing I want to look at this morning is before sin. Because see, everything that we teach in the backdrop of sin. Well, if I was in Adam when he sinned, and then as Romans said that sin is now has been passed on to all men who have come after Adam, I had to be in Adam, Greg, before he sinned. So, because there's no way that I can be in him when he sins and not be in him before he sins. And so keep that in your thought process. Everything we lost in Adam, we regain through Christ. I mean, through and in Jesus Christ. So go back to the book of Genesis. It's always good to start at the beginning. Go back to Genesis chapter 2. Let's explore and look at Adam's mind. Genesis chapter 2, verse 19. Genesis 2, verse 19. It says this. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and he brought them to Adam to see what he would call it, what he would call them, and whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. So when you think about this, you're God, just, you know, for this teaching, you're God, and you have created a person, and you have now allowed this person to have dominion over everything that you have created, to the point that the things that you have created, you don't even name, but you take them to him to see what he would call it. That's trust. And God is able to do that to Adam because he knows Adam's mind. Because Adam's mind is just like his mind. Because he has created Adam out of his own image. And he breathes into Adam the breath of him, life. Come on, y'all stay with me. So now, watch this. Not only has he created Adam, but he blows his spirit into Adam. Now he is now in Adam. And because he is in Adam, he knows his mind. And because he knows his mind, he can bring whatever he wants to bring to Adam. And Adam's going to call it exactly what God was thinking. I'm going to walk through this through y'all. And so he brings the stuff to Adam. Adam says everything that he brings out of the ground. Everything. You know, I like to think, you know, I'm kind of, y'all pray for me. Y'all know I ain't got no sense. You know, Adam, you know, a long day of tending in the garden. God comes in the midst of the cool of the day, and Adam's sitting there. God walks himself up, a cow, and it starts mooing ever since then. Since the beginning. He's been mooing. He will not stop mooing. Because Adam called him that. So not only does he call him that, but he gives him a purpose of what he is when he calls him that. So God brings some more stuff to him, and he says zebra, giraffe, whatever it is that he brings. But think about that. God can trust him with what he calls it because he knows Adam's mind, because he's in Adam, and Adam is cut to be made in the same image. Literally in the Hebrew means to be cut out of the same cloth. To be cut out of the same material, to be formed and fashioned just like that. So here's Adam. Here's the power of his mind. God is so trusting of the mind that he has given him, then he can bring stuff to Adam, knowing that Adam is going to call it exactly what he wants it called, because Adam has his mind. The thing that happens is this. When sin comes in, it now disconnects Adam from the source of his ability to think like God. And we wonder sometime, I'm going to get to it in a minute, and we wonder sometime why my thought process is cloudy. Oh yeah, I know I'm on the right street. We wonder sometimes, Pastor Chris, why my thinking does not line up with what God's word says. And the reason why is because the same thing happens to us that happens to Adam. When we allow sin to come in, it now disconnects from the source. Let's keep reading about Adam. Go over to chapter number three. When he fell, watch this, verse number 22. Just let me lay the foundation. We'll get into some stuff in a little bit. He says, and the Lord God said to behold, verse number 22, Genesis chapter 3. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest we put forth his hand, lest he put forth his hand and take of the tree of life and eat and live forever. So God says now Adam has become like them because he knows good and evil. And he says now what we've got to do, we've got to make sure that Adam does not put forth his hand and eat from the tree of life. Because there in the garden, the Bible talks about the tree of life. And the tree of life in the book of Revelation is that very tree that when we get to heaven, we'll eat from. Because in that tree is eternal life. So God says, I cannot let him put forth his hand and take from the tree of life. Because if he eats from the tree of life in the state that he's in right now, he'll have to live in this state forever. Disconnected from God. So the Bible says that God sets a flaming cherubim and he drives Adam out of the garden. And so, you know, I start thinking that if somebody had to make him, if God had to make him leave, that meant Adam came to himself, realized that what he did was wrong, and he didn't want to go. Okay. How many of us have done something that we know was wrong, we came to ourselves, and then we was like, dog. And now comes the chastisement, and we're saying, Mom and Dad, I don't want to get chastised. Just let me stay right here and love me where I was before I messed up. But where you are now is not where you were before you messed up, because now you're in the phase of needing to be what? Chastised. So Adam can't stay there and eat from the tree of life, because if he stays there and eat from the tree of life, his mind is now going to be clouded and disconnected forever. So God shows hard love, tough love, and drives him out of the garden. Sin will always disconnect you from your life source. Write that down if you're taking notes. Sin will cause you to think crazy, will cause your mind not to operate the way God wants it to operate. Sin will disconnect you. When you look at these lights, the fans that are blowing, the air conditioner that's going, it all has a power source. And Encore, as long as we pay our bill, amen, will keep us connected to the power source. But Encore says it is sin if you don't pay your bill. And they will disconnect you from the power source if you don't stay in line. Everybody got what I'm saying? So sin in our life brings disconnection from God. And when we are disconnected from God, we no longer can think like God thinks. And then when we no longer have the power that God now gives us, we no longer have the ability to do the things that God have appointed us to do. So we've got to make sure that we continue to walk in righteousness, that we continue to walk in holiness, and that we stay connected to God. One of the things that the enemy wants to do, any way that he can, is disconnect you. does not have to be something great. If he can just disconnect you. If he can just get you to think that the people at the church don't like you. You know they don't like you. They don't like how you dress. They don't like how you look. Why are you even going? It causes what? Disconnection. If he can get you to think that all them folk at that church want is your money. Disconnection. Get you to think that they all we disconnection. So anything that he can do cause you and your wife to have a spat before church, then all of a sudden ain't nobody going to church because y'all mad. Disconnection. Why? Because if he can disconnect you in any kind of way, he will disconnect you from the very source that you were created from. And from the very entity, God, that infuses you with the power to do the things that you do. Amen? So watch this. Somebody say, let this mind be in me. Watch this. So sin disconnects, and then God wants to bring all these things back together. Go back over into the book, into the New Testament, to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. So God has a plan. Somebody say, God has a plan. God has a plan to bring us back and reconnect us to this power source that we live under and that we should operate in. So go back to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Watch this. Verse number 9 and 10. Who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. So our salvation, watch this, Adolphus, is not according to our works, but it's according to his own purpose. So watch this. Whenever you look at the mind of Christ and letting this mind be in us and how we operate in the earth, God has offered salvation to us, not because, Prince, of what we've done, because he has a purpose for us in the earth. Nobody here, and let me shout this to the highest point of the mountaintop, because the enemy will use this in your life. Nobody who is here in this earth is an accident. I don't care what the circumstances were around your conception. God has a purpose for you in the earth. You say, well, Pastor Biggers, I'm a product of this, and I was a product of that. And what about the person that was a product of this and the incest or rape or this or another thing? God is sovereign, and he has a purpose for you now in this earth. And so don't allow the enemy to use whatever means were conceived to get you here. Just know, because you're here, God has a purpose for you. And many people get caught up with how they got here instead of getting caught up with why they are here. My mama didn't love me. My mama put me up for adoption. My mama didn't, it probably was good that your mama put you up for adoption. Well, the people that adopted me, it was probably was good that God gave you those people that adopted you. Get past the circumstances and get here to the purpose. And watch this, the grace. So the thing that you've got to understand when you begin to talk about we're going to operate in the mind of Christ and do those things that God called us to do in the earth. Watch this, for every purpose, he has a grace. That's a good shouting point right there. for every purpose, he has a grace. So no matter what your purpose is in the earth, he has a grace to go along with the purpose that would give you the unmerited favor that you need to fulfill the purpose that he called you in the earth to do. Somebody say, thank you for your grace. So for every purpose that lies here in the room comes along a grace to do what God instructs you to do. That's why he would tell Jeremiah, he said, Jeremiah, don't say that you're a child. Don't say that you can't speak. Don't say that you're afraid of their faces, because I am with you. He says, when it comes for your time to speak, it's not you that's speaking anyway. It's the Spirit of the Father that's in you. So for every purpose, he's got a grace to go along with it. I thank God for the grace to pastor. Thank God for the grace to do it, to do it, to do it, to do, to do, to do. Whatever it is, the purpose, whatever the call is. So watch this. He says, who have saved us, called us according to his holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus. Where? Before the world began. What's your name again? Tanisha. So Tanisha, before you got here and before God chose the womb that he was going to use to cause an expression of him to be in the earth, before the beginning of the world, he chose you in Christ. Now deal with that. Stephanie. Before he chose Modesta down in Bay City, he knew you and he purposed you to be an expression of God. Where? In Christ, before the beginning of the world even happened. All this was taking place before any creation was made. Y'all, Elder Harrington. I hear you talking about either being a Mississippi, but it's itty bitty. But before he put you in your mother's womb, he chose you in Christ before the beginning of the world. So everything that he wanted to do and purpose in your life, he had already done before he said, let there be. Everything great he was going to bless you with and cause you to do, he had already said before, let there be. Tangy, everything and every person and everywhere before, let there be, he chose you before the beginning of the world was even made. He says, let me give him a purpose. And I'm going to give Stephanie a grace to do what you're having to do with your mother. A grace. To make it work, a grace, a purpose to meet Tiger. That's what she called him, y'all. A grace. Put that out there in church on the tape. Stephanie called her husband Tiger. I don't know what she called him that. I'm just, you know, let me keep preaching. A grace. Go to the next scripture, James. But is now, watch this, manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death, have brought life and immortality to the light through the gospel. Who made manifest by the appearing. So when God allows Jesus to appear in the earth, he abolishes death, he brings life and immortality through the light of the gospel. So all these things, you're like, Pastor Wiggins, what does this have to do with having the mind of Christ? Let me tell you. Because when I understand all these things, then I let the mind be in me. See, it's funny. I use my wife as an example. Every now and then, Price, I slip up and I say, I'll let you do something. just as if I have the ability to tell her she can't do it. And she will quickly remind me, you're not my dad. You can't let me do nothing. So, I'm sorry, baby. So, the word let, that when it says let this mind be in you, means that there is a place where we have to allow God entrance into our life. And when I think about all these things that we've just been talking about, why wouldn't you want to let him in? Because all he's trying to do, well, watch this, is get back to a place that he was from the beginning. He wants to get back to the place, Michael, where he fellowships with you just like he was fellowshipping with Adam. But you got to let him in. He wants to get back to the place. The amazing thing about the human mind is this. Some of the most smartest people in the world, the most intelligent people in the world, the IQs that are off the charts, the great inventors, the great composers, the great thinkers of the world, scientists say use maybe 10%, maybe, of their brain capability. So we have people that can tap into less than 10%, and some of the things that we see that is accomplished today, what if we had the mind of Christ? What if we had the mind that Adam had before sin? I say this, and it's probably controversial to some people, but Adam didn't need faith because what he thought it was, because he had God's mind. Let this mind, watch this, be in you. Go to the book of Acts, and this is my last scripture for the morning. Then we're going to talk about some more stuff next week. Acts number 3. Watch this. Verse number 19. Hold on, let me make sure that's where I want to be at. Yeah. Verse 19 says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Somebody say, repent. And be converted. That's where transformation comes. The thing that has to happen is this. I have to repent of sin in order for conversion to come into my life. Watch what he says. He says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. When? Somebody say when. The times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So I have to be in the state of ready to receive, because the times of refreshing are coming. But if I'm in sin and unrepentant and not converted, then I won't be able to receive. Many people, you know, we wonder why we can't receive from God. Whatever level of reception that you're looking for, be it spiritual things, natural things, financial things, it doesn't matter. It's because some of us have unrepentant and not converted. I'm going to preach to the choir when I say that, because that might get on somebody. Everybody wave to the choir. So some of y'all in that choir stand are unrepentant and have not been converted. And so it's going to hinder you. I'm preaching to all y'all in this choir back here. It is going to hinder you. I'm going to point my finger at y'all. It is going to hinder your ability to receive from God when the times of refreshing come, because we're still in the Adam state. When Adam got in a sinful state, he no longer could receive then from God. It takes Jesus now to come, as the Bible says in the book of Romans, as the last Adam. I hear people talking about the second Adam as if there's going to be somebody that comes after Jesus, but no, he is the last Adam. And when the last Adam comes, he now converts. He brings a transformation to those things that were found in the first Adam through his obedience. So now what I've got to do is get into the last Adam and be converted. So when the times of refreshing comes from the Lord, I'll be able to receive those things. Now go to the next scripture. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before you was preached unto, verse 21. Whom the heavens, watch this, must receive until the times of restitution of all things. So the heavens have got to contain Jesus until the times of restitution and refreshing have come from the Lord. In other words, a revival before Jesus has come back, he's going to break out in the earth like never before until the restoration of all things. You know what one of those all things are? Let this mind be in you. The heavens must receive until the restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began. So there's going to come a restoration. Everybody say restoration. There's going to come a restoration of the ability to walk in continuously the mind of Christ. We just got to receive it. We've got to say, you know what, God, let this mind be in me. Let this mind be in me. I remember, and I'm through, we were just starting the ministry. And this is when any of you guys that are technical techies and all that, when the A-plus certification people help desk things, and that was a big market, you know. We had some young men at the church at the time, and he was struggling to pass his certification test that would cause him to get a leap in pay. You remember, get a leap in pay, greater position. And instantly, as he was talking to me, I just heard the Holy Spirit say, tell him to give me his mind. And I said, man, I don't know. I'm just going to tell you what I just heard God say. God said, give me your mind, and he'll give you that test. He looked at me like I was strange. I said, I'm just telling you what I heard him say. He said, give me your mind, and I'll give you the test. The next week, came back to Bible study, leaping and shouting for joy. Why? Because he had passed his test. He said, Pastor Biggs, I did exactly what you said that the Lord told me. I get home, and I said, God, you can have my mind. I cut off everything. I didn't even study anymore. I said, God, you can have my mind. He said, when I sat down at that test, I knew it was the hand of God and the mind of God on my life at that particular moment, because I knew stuff then that I know I didn't know. I was just trying to pass enough things that I did know. Y'all ever took a test like that? You know you don't know some stuff on the test, so you just going scanning through the test, trying to do enough stuff that you know that you do know to pass. And he said, that's exactly what I was doing. He said, but man, when I sat down there, I began to do those problems and answer those questions as if I knew those things. And he says, I know. I didn't know. So he came back, Bob said, I'm telling you this morning, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Our capability this morning is beyond measure if we would just receive it. What you say, Elder Heron? A million ways, a million ideas to make your first million. It is right there at your fingertips. The ability, the invention, the thought process, the file programming, whatever it is right there at your fingertips. All you got to say, God, you can have my mind. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. We're going to get into some more stuff next week. Father, we thank you today. Hallelujah. For the restoration of all things. We know those things that happened from the beginning that disconnected us from the very person that we were created after. God, we thank you today that we now have the mind of Christ. And we say this morning, let this mind be in us. Let this mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus. I want to pray for you this morning. Stand up just quickly. You say you got an idea. You say you have a concept or a thought process, and you've been working and you've been toiling at it, can't quite get it. And I want you to come to the altar this morning. We're just gonna pray a simple prayer. Lord, let this mind be in him. So come. Whatever it is, whatever the idea may be, whatever the business may be, whatever the invention may be, Father, let this mind be in him. Whatever it may be, let this mind. And that's our prayer this morning. As I lay hands on you this morning, Father, let this mind be in him that was also in Christ Jesus. Father, let this mind be in him that was also in Christ Jesus. Father, let this mind, thank you, Lord, be in them that was also in Christ Jesus. Father, let this mind be in her this morning that was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind.